Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today as we meet together coast to coast in America around the radio and all the way around the world on this God Is podcast. This is May 26th, which gives you six more days to write to me within the month of May. As I have been telling you, May is the month for mail. All I ask is that when you write, mention what station you listen on or the podcast. Include comments, questions, and prayer requests. I'm not asking for anything else. Here at God Is, we depend on God to meet our many needs, but we depend on you to write with any encouragement, criticism, comments, questions, and prayer requests that you have. I will pray for you, even as I trust that you will be praying for me. So God will meet our needs, but God is not going to write your email or letter for you. So I hope you'll do that today, tonight, this week, certainly this month, as May is the month for mail. It is very important to me that I hear from you this month. Of course, you can write to me any time about anything. I welcome your correspondence. As those who have written to me can attest, I do write back, taking every email and letter seriously. But I have set aside this month in the calendar for those who have never written to me before to do so. So will you? The email is mark@markaswallow.com. That's M-A-R-K at M-A-R-K-A-S-W-A-L-L-O-W.com. Or write God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. My addresses will be repeated again soon. As soon as I receive your note, I will order and have shipped directly to you from Amazon. To avoid too many hands touching your free gift during this coronavirus, direct from Amazon, you will receive Knowing God by J.I. Packer. This is a classic. It's divided into three easy-to-read parts: Know the Lord, Behold Your God, and If God Be For Us. It is an insightful biblical look into the God who is. This is not heavy, thick, hard to grasp, some sort of highly theological textbook. This is an enjoyable discovery that will enhance and instruct your faith in Christ, and it is free for you. So how about it? Get off your letter or email today. Yesterday, we had what I trust was a fruitful time together in Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. God has said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan is now responding to God's question. God is in charge, and Satan is now submitting himself to God. Verses 9 and 10 of Job chapter 1 quotes the devil, "Then Satan answered the Lord, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land.'" Notice that Satan brings up this hedge about Job that God has made. That is the hedge of protection. And we said that God builds a hedge of protection around all of his people. God has built this hedge for you and for me. To us, this is an invisible hedge. We cannot see it, but it's there. And along comes this same Satan and his demons, and they try to get at us. Evil continually pursues Christians. Satan hates every one of God's people, and he wants to totally and completely destroy us. But significantly, our Heavenly Father stands in his way. Satan acknowledges this. "You, God, have made a hedge around Job. I, Satan, cannot get to him. I've tried and I've tried, but I just cannot destroy your servant Job." Here is foundational truth. The only way Satan can get at us is if God lets him. Nothing can happen to you or to me without it first passing through the will of God, dear Christian. Satan requires God's permission to successfully attack us. And we talked about how this can either be a source of great comfort for us or worry for us. based on whether or not we accept that God really does love us. I just want to reiterate a part of what I said, because unless we hear truth for more than once, we often will not learn it and apply God's truth to our lives. If we know and believe the truth that God loves us, then this hedge of protection is an awesome comfort. But if we doubt, question, or just plain do not believe that God loves us, then this hedge of protection can be a source of worry. So rather than comfort, this becomes a concern. If you and I believe, personally, intimately, not just generally or theologically, if we believe that God loves us and cares deeply for us, then knowing He has a hedge of protection around us that He sometimes opens for Satan, we will be comforted that God, motivated by love, is giving Satan permission to come against us for some reason. We may never know the reason or reasons, plural, but basking in the eternal love of God, we trust God and we allow ourselves to be comforted by the presence of Christ in our lives amidst the attacks of Satan. However, if you live with an underlying sense of doubt that God really truly loves you, then the idea that your hedge of protection is sometimes broken by the permission of God, well, then this will trouble you. You might say, if God loves me, how could He do this to me? How could God allow this to happen to me? You are trapped by this thought. God can only demonstrate or show love to me when He keeps that hedge of protection totally closed to Satan. Anything bad or troublesome, such as suffering, that comes to me reveals that actually God does not love me. You see, you can call into question the love of God for you. Rather than the hedge of protection being a source of comfort, it becomes a source of worry. Rather than comfort, this is a concern. I hope that you see what I am getting at. Let me ask you, how do you respond when you hear that unless God gives Satan permission, Satan cannot successfully attack you? Do you like that, or do you not like that? Do you accept it, or do you reject it? What questions do you have about this? Likely questions that will be based on your personal experience. What happens to Job later, right in the same chapter, happens because God gave Satan permission to do it. And Satan does this, but he does it on the permission of Holy God. The overwhelming suffering that comes to Job in Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 19, it comes at the hands of Satan, but because God allows Satan to do it. Well, this is where we are not just casual observers out at the theater, dressed up in our nice tuxedos and beautiful gowns, sipping champagne at the intermission. No, as we watch this scene in heaven from our seats, we are pulled right into the story because Job's story is also our story. Can you relate to Job? I'm here to tell you that I sure can. Now, you might think, I'm not so sure, Swallow. I do not know about your theology here. Okay, let's go back to the Bible as promised at Job 1 verse 11. Let me demonstrate my point from another angle. In Job 1, verse 11, Satan continues to speak, and this will show you how much he hates the people of God. Satan says to God, "But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Well, the evil one tells God, "Take away all Job's possessions and then see what happens." Satan emphasizes your hand, meaning, God, you do this to him. You strip Job of everything he depends on. And Satan emphasizes, surely, most definitely, I guarantee it, God, not only will Job curse you, but he will curse you to your face. Do you hear in this how much Satan hates, despises God and Job? He is cheering on the total destruction of this man, Job. Here again is a brief point of application. What would you do if God himself, or God allowing Satan to do it, did strip away all of your earthly possessions, including taking the life of your children? I hope you read or will read verses 13 through 19 of Job 1. How would you respond to God? In some cases, Satan would be right. There are those Christians who would curse God to his face if what happened to Job happened to us. In reality, if we faced suffering not even as bad as Job's. Think soberly about this today. How will you react, or how did you react, when you will face or have faced a taking away of the blessing of God in your possessions and your family members? I ask, how did you? Because surely you have faced some form of suffering in your life already. Now, verse 12 of Job 1, our last verse in this scene. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now do you believe me? How is my theology holding up now? Here in verse 12, God clearly gives Satan permission to break through that hedge of protection and to harm Job. Satan cannot kill Job. God says, "Do not put forth your hand on him," but he can cause great suffering. The only way Satan can get to us is if God lets him. Nothing can happen to God's people without it first passing through the will of God, and the overwhelming suffering that comes to Job comes at the hands of Satan, but because God allows Satan to do it. This was God's will that Job suffer. Think about this. What is your response? Join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.